Life Audio.
Today on Talk About That, John plans to live to be 100 and drives on the emergency shoulder on Christmas. Meanwhile, I take issue with the ending of Back to the Future and say something to a traffic cop that gets me pulled out of the car. Plus a conversation about resolutions, vices, and remaining at peace with our neighbors. Today's episode is not sponsored by vitamin supplements. We aren't sure if they work, but at least they're really expensive. But first, a word from our actual sponsor.
Hello, folks. My name is Derek Greer, and I'm reaching out to fellow pastors and church leaders just like you to join me and other Christian leaders and organizations throughout the nation as we come together on June 8th and 9th for National Unity Weekend. Together, we will show the love of Jesus as we serve our communities on Saturday, June 8th, and then preach from a shared text on Sunday, June 9th. To register, go to unityweekend.com. That's unityweekend.com to join us as we unite the church and unite the nation.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
It's a new year, Johnny, a new Talk About That. We're so glad to join our listeners around the world for, 2024. Here we go.
What did you think would be happening in 2024 when you were a kid? Did you think you'd make it?
Yeah, I thought I don't know, actually. I was watching Back to the Future 2 yesterday, which is set in 2015.
Oh, right. That seemed like it was so far
flying away. Cars everywhere. And Yeah.
Those cool Nikes.
Yeah.
Those were great.
Those were great. It's a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
The whole series, what would you call that? Franchise.
A trilogy.
Yeah. It was really good. Were you a big Back to the Future guy?
Oh, yeah. How could you not be? Who hates Back to the Future?
I tried to show my daughter, but she was too young. I just don't think.
Yeah. One thing I found interesting, there's a story. It's interesting how actors, how their legacies age. And then you go, oh, this guy was a big weirdo. And then you go, oh, he had a point. He was kind of quirky, but people were. And one of those guys is Crispin Glover, who played, you know.
Yeah, he's such a strange person.
He was a strange actor, and he would go on talk shows at the time and be really strange and odd, and kind of like Joaquin Phoenix did that time. He was for real. He was the original guy to go on and just be like weird and stone-faced and you know, kind of subversive and strange. But he was written out of Back to the Future 2 because he refused to do it. And so they replaced him. They used some kind of digital imaging, which was really rudimentary at the day of the day. But they, so if you ever see, like, there's a body double, because he's in it very briefly, the dad character. But when you see his face, that's being done digitally. And he sued them and won, because they basically stole his image. And, but one of the reasons he said he didn't want to be in it, so to my point about who doesn't like Back to the Future, Crispin Glover didn't like it. But his point was, he loved the movie, and then they changed the ending. I can't remember if it's screen tested weird or what happened. Obviously, that movie went through a lot of changes because Eric Stoltz did, like, you know, weeks and months of footage as Marty McFly, and they replaced him. They fired him.
You're talking the first movie or second right
now? The first one.
Okay.
But so the reason Crispin Glover didn't like the first one was it was either a rewrite or it was this way the whole time, and he never agreed with it. But he did an interview and he talked about it. And what he said now makes so much sense. Like, man, Crispin Glover had it right. He said, when you come, they come back and everything is right. Everything's been made right.
Right.
He goes, Marty didn't just go back to his family and they're there again around the table. He goes, now they've got a tennis lesson. They have money.
Right.
His new truck is in the driveway. He goes, it's so vapid. And it really bothered him.
Interesting.
And so he didn't want to do the second one. He was like, I don't like where this is headed. It's a bad message to send, like, yeah, if you just make the right choices, you'll have money and be happy.
Yeah.
And so he kind of spoke out. He was more of a whatever. He just didn't like that political messaging. And so, but it's interesting how you just go, well, he was a difficult to work with actor. And it's like, yeah, but he was kind of right about some of that.
Interesting.
I don't know. What do you think, John? Everybody wants to, but like, that's the fairy tale ending.
Yeah.
And you're going to have all your heart's desire. But also, like, if you were given everything you wanted as a kid, would you be the same person? Would you?
Well, I think then it's very, his whole protest is flawed then by the premise of the second movie, because the premise of the second movie is even though he was rich and all the stuff in the world, because of his temper, he still ruined his life.
Right. He still was messed up.
Yeah. So like it didn't fix him in his future. So if Crispin Glover would have thought it through or had a conversation with me first, I could have saved him.
As luck would have it, he was available.
We have him right now.
I don't think he would be available.
Did you have a good Christmas?
I did. Yeah. That's a heck of a segue, by the way. You didn't want to have this whole hour be about Crispin Glover and his legacy?
We can. I can go as far as you want.
This is. I had a good Christmas. We got to see some family, which was good. And we didn't stay long. We stayed Christmas Eve and then came back that night.
Yeah.
And then Christmas Day, we just hung out. We did nothing Christmas Day.
Oh, that's great.
It was pretty good.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You could use a little nothing.
That was good. I'm getting a lot of nothing right now in my life because I've done like one show in the past, well, two shows in the past like 10 days. So it's just like, whoever's getting me first part of this year, there's going to be some duct tape coming in on some of these jokes. I'm knocking some rust off.
Nah, come on, man.
You don't think?
No, you're a pro.
My zany show went well. You didn't even show up. You didn't even deign to darken the doors of my...
I tried...
Which it was a packed house, so it was good.
I know. I was coming.
Yeah.
And then my wife got sick.
It would have been totally full if you had showed up.
It was her one chair.
Yeah.
One seat. Yeah, my wife got sick with the stomach bug that my father-in-law had the couple days before we got there.
Everybody's just passing stuff around right now.
Yeah, it was like, ooh. And
all these family getting together, that's what happens.
And Sadie and I actually made it through without getting it, so we sequestered to the other side. But I was worried. It's one of those, sorry to be gross, but it's one of those things like you sleep with a bucket by the bed kind of things.
Isn't sequester for a jury? You mean quarantine?
No, we sequestered.
You didn't watch any media or film? Or you didn't.
We were going over evidence.
You didn't read about the case? You don't want to be biased in any way against the illness?
Dude, I read the best article over Christmas. There's a story. I don't know if you've seen this. I think it was Washington Post. In North Carolina. Mm-hmm. A family wakes up about 3 a.m. to find that their three-year-old has gone down in the middle of the night and has opened everybody's presents in the whole family.
And what do they do with them?
Well, so they asked him why he was doing it, and he said, well, I had to make sure that everyone wasn't going to be confused about what they got.
Right.
That was his explanation.
Wrapping paper can be confusing.
And they had a six-year-old, too, so this was going to ruin his Christmas. And they had stayed up late wrapping them all, as it was. And so they put him to bed, and then they rewrapped all the presents.
Oh, wow.
So that they could have Christmas the next morning.
That's a little Santa sweatshop you had to impromptu.
I'm just surprised it doesn't happen more often.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just get up and find, look at all these presents, and just go
to town. Did you ever take a peek in your presents under the...
No, it was a... You know,
liked being surprised?
I was too much of a rule follower probably to do that. I felt like I was cheating.
There was one year...
Oh, wow. You did it.
I had like an X-Acto knife... Kid.
You did not.
And I figured out that I could just go and make a couple of little cuts along the tape lines and just like open and see the end of the box and be like, I know what that is. And then I could just get my own roll of tape and tape it back.
But didn't that ruin the surprise?
Yeah.
Or was...
No, like, Christmas was ruined.
Was the thrill of breaking the rules...
Just knowing. I couldn't stand not knowing. Mm. I think I was 13 or something.
Well, let's unpack that for a second. Let's take the X-Acto knife to that tape.
Yeah. No, let's just leave it where it is. Yeah, what is... Yeah, there's so much wrong with me, but that was... I think I like being surprised now. So maybe that was that year that was the turning point. I was like, this was awful, and now I just don't want to be that guy.
You took away
like, I like believing magic is real. When I go to a magic show, I'm like, can you believe that guy levitated?
Well, you're a flat earther.
Mm-hmm. There's a million things, really, when you think about it. It's funny about flat earthers that they're... Like, they believe in the other planet. Like, they believe the moon is round.
Do they?
I mean, they have to, right?
I don't know.
Johnny, do they believe that? We have Crispin Glover right here.
Do they believe the other planets are
That's
also
a great
flat?
Question. Is the whole universe
like
flat?
They believe we're just a big lasagna pan floating out in space, but everything else is round? They think that's...
I bet not. I bet they think that it changes the way the whole universe looks.
We're all just big square disks?
I don't know. I mean, there is the idea of things looking different.
Yeah.
When there's no up and no down. Uh-huh. Now, to be clear, I've not studied the flat earth theories at all. And maybe that's to my own detriment, to my own shame, because I would just speak out against it without really knowing what their argument is. Because just
saying we'll get comments now from people who, because people come, people troll, they troll the internet, they get Google alerts. So somebody's going to get a thing that we talked about it and they're going to have to come on and try to dunk on us.
And listen, let me tell you something.
Yeah.
They say all
publicity. If we've been to the moon, why haven't we gone back?
Like,
they do that whole thing.
Costs a lot of money, guys.
Yeah.
There's not a
lot. Yeah, we never waste money in the government.
We did go back a lot, actually. But anyway, that's another...
Why haven't we been back in a long time?
I don't know. I mean...
John?
If you've already... Like, what else is there to do, Johnny? I mean, you're going
to... You went back to your mother... You went back to your mother-in-law's house. You've been there a bunch.
Well, yeah.
That costs a lot of money.
It's so
expensive. Why does your mother-in-law live on the moon? Is, I guess, what I mean to say. So, are you doing... Did you do resolutions? Are you doing the... Do you do a resolution tomorrow? Or you call them something different? I call them goals. I call them being intentional.
You know, Johnny, that's probably... that's a great, actually, segue into the next part of our day. So, let's just take a moment and hear a word from a few of our sponsors.
Hello, folks. My name is Derek Greer, and I'm reaching out to fellow pastors and church leaders just like you to join me and other Christian leaders and organizations throughout the nation as we come together on June 8th and 9th for National Unity Weekend. Together, we will show the love of Jesus as we serve our communities on Saturday, June 8th, and then preach from a shared text on Sunday, June 9th. To register, go to unityweekend.com. That's unityweekend.com to join us as we unite the church and unite the nation.
Yeah, I don't understand the haters for resolutions.
Yeah.
Like, I do. I love...
Well, resolution means you're resolving, so it's like you're making a promise. So that's a lot of pressure. Maybe the wording has changed, not because it's just a stale wording, but because we go, hey, resolution's a lot. Plus, it feels governmental. Like, I make a resolution here on this floor of the Senate.
Maybe they would work if we did
that.
It's
like you're filibustering your personality or something.
I think people don't want to do it because... When they do it, they don't stick with it. The expectation is, if I do this, I stick with it forever. And that's not how I see resolutions. I see them
as... I just want to get into the second week of January.
Right. I just want to make a promise to myself and then break it.
Yes.
No, I think that it's about... It's not like I did it or didn't do it. It's, did I improve because of it?
Yeah.
So I may not be at 100%, but am I now at 30%? And I would have been at 0% if I hadn't tried. So I do. I see it as a chance to try new things or... see something to improve. But I'm a sort of self-improvement guy. Drives my wife a little crazy.
Right? Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, drives us all crazy, most, John.
Well, no, because most self-improvement people are like, they also want to improve the people around them.
Yeah.
You know, maniacally. So it's not enough just to be like, hey, I read this book and it says that we can be more organized. It's like, we're organizing this house. Like, there's this great scene in Modern Family where... Cam, who's this heavyset character on the show, he goes on a fad diet, and the person's like, every time he goes on this thing, and then it shows him, he just watched some video, and he's like going through the cabinets, and he goes, he's looking at it, he's holding it, and he points, and he goes, poison! And he just throws it away. Poison! He just keeps throwing the stuff away. That's what happens, though, to people who, like, you get overtaken by an idea, and then... You have to disrupt the lives of everyone around you while you glom on to that idea.
I try not to. So that would be my younger self.
Okay.
My zealot self in early 20s, mid-20s. Right. But yeah, I'm more like, this is about...
So you're like, I think it's poison, but if you want to have your poison, at it.
Like, there's some things with resolution that, like, my wife, I'll say, hey, you don't have to do this, but just know... I might not be able to do it without you helping in this small way.
Uh-huh.
Because we're very codependent. Like, we live a lot of things together.
Uh-huh.
And so...
Codependent's usually a negative, John.
I know, but that's what we say. Like,
I would say interdependent.
We say codependent because, like, we haven't had to live without each other.
Yeah, but isn't it negative because it's like you're... propping up each other's negative attributes with codependence. Like, I would think interdependent, kind of like, I don't know, like the United Nations. It's not codependent, it's interdependent.
Yeah, well, we say it as a...
We're keeping a peace by being interdependent on each other for commerce and trade.
We
and,
understand the negative connotation, but we kind of say it almost in jest, like, well...
No, I think absolutely. You're codependent, too. I just wondered if you understood what everyone's saying behind your back.
I think what we're saying is, I don't know what kind of mess I would be.
Yeah.
Right, without her, you know what I'm saying? Well, I do. I know what kind of mess I would be. So it's like a...
That's a very codependent thing you just said.
Yeah.
That's like there was a book about codependency, and it said, I worship the very dirt he treats me like.
That's great. No, I
think you. I think you'd be okay. I think that Laura's good for you, but I also think that I think you're good for her, and it's you'd be okay.
Look, I understand in that what it's one of those things. Having faced mortality at a young age because of Laura's brain surgeries, and that's a story back in our other episodes, I'm sure. Like, I have spent more time probably at a younger age contemplating having almost lost her. Mm-hmm. You know? So I do think, and I'm at six, so I'm thinking a lot about all the scenarios.
Worst case scenario. Right?
And so, I don't know. Yes, the answer is yes, God was sustaining me in all things and all that, but I also am grateful. That's how I'll tell him. Like, look, I know you'll take care of me. I trust that. But just out of my request, this is great. You know, like, can we live? My prayers, can we live to be 100 with our health intact and our minds?
Oh, man, that's a lot.
And then, like, you know, go almost.
Has anybody ever done that?
Yeah.
Two people living to be 100 with their minds and health intact?
Yeah.
As a couple? Give me one couple.
Well, I don't know.
You don't know because it's never happened, John.
Well,
one of y'all is going to lose it and fall off a cliff.
But can we go off
if you
the cliff
get to choose,
at the same
who's
time?
It going to be? Who's it going to be?
At the same time. Like,
really?
Like a Thelma Louise
That would
thing.
Be pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, for Sadie, how much easier it'd be, like, hey.
To have to take care of both of you at the same time.
Right. You don't have to take care of us now. We both went. And we were
no,
okay.
No, I mean, you know, this is no, it's not, you don't get to choose that. John, this is not just like you both die. I'm saying like you both go literally downhill.
No.
And Sadie's like, here we go.
Well, she'll be 70 by then herself.
That's true.
You know?
Ugh.
My goodness. But if I do have 100 years, think about it. I'm not even halfway. Think about all the life. See, I want like an active, productive 80s and 90s.
Mm.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
Who has that?
Well, Jimmy Carter did.
Yeah.
This guy was out building houses.
That's true.
And I think there's so many similarities between me and Jimmy Carter.
I was going to say.
Like, if people.
Peanut farmer.
It's hard to tell us apart sometimes.
Yeah.
We both carry that presidential sort of thing.
Absolutely. The teeth.
He probably had more hair than me at his death, if I'm guessing. But
did he die? Jimmy Carter's still alive.
I'm sorry. Miss Rosalind died.
Right. Miss Rosalind died. Yeah. He's still alive. But he's in failing health.
Well. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, forgive me for misspeaking there.
But, we're breaking news here on the show.
I love Jimmy Carter. I think
he's another guy. He's the Crispin Glover of presidents. We didn't know what we had. Don't you think? I think
he was a victim of his time for sure.
And I just think that I think he had this great quote, and I'll butcher it, but it basically he talked about when he left the office. He said, "Now I take my role as the most powerful person, which is a citizen of the United States." He was talking about how, like, the power of the citizenry, the way the founders set it up, should be more powerful than the president because you get to choose the president. So I thought that was an interesting take on it. I thought, what a great quote. I mean, it's not true, but.
Right.
Because clearly,
just
the president,
like a normal citizen, I'm going to have the Secret Service detail for the rest of my life.
Yeah. And clearly, the president's way more powerful than me, but I don't want to let you guys know that.
Yeah.
He knew a lot of stuff by then that he wished he didn't know, probably. He's president.
Well, and again, I'm not saying he was a great president at the time, but it was a very volatile time to be president.
Is there ever a time where you're like, this was the best time to be president?
This was the best time.
Slings and arrows. Nobody.
I think Reagan would argue that, you know, That 80s time, again, there's always something going
but
on.
But what he would say, like, I take credit for making
it a better
time.
I'm the reason it was stable.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know if he'd say that or not. That may be a lot. There's a lot of people post who've said
that.
Yeah, the
crack epidemic, the AIDS epidemic. Like, it was a pretty volatile time.
Right.
It's just we were, you know, I don't know.
You know what's funny? What we don't want to say.
Yeah.
What we don't generally want to say is a majority of middle class white culture did okay financially. That's usually, and that's the marker.
Yeah.
That's what makes the elections run. When you got gas lines, that guy's not getting reelected. Yeah. Whether or not the president has anything to do with the gas prices or not, right? Or whether or not there's a global issue happening.
Well, it's about perception now, you know, over reality. It's just my perception of something. If I perceive the economy's bad, or if I perceive, well, I mean, it can cause, one of the things that caused the Great Depression was like, we didn't feel like we could trust the banks. And so it created a distrust of banks, which created banks falling apart. If you feel like your money's not safe, you pull it out of the banks. Now the banks fail. Oh, the banks fail. We made the banks fail.
Right.
You know, I mean, a lot of things led into it. I'm oversimplifying.
There may be. Yeah,
let me tell you about the Great Depression.
Johnny,
I can only tell you about my depression. And I'm hanging on.
Interesting. I was reading it. This is just a total side nerdy thing. My wife and I were laughing at me, but I'm reading a book right now on my phone.
You're reading a book on your phone?
I read books on my phone. We buy books. And it's The Rise and Fall of Dispensationalism. And it's not, she's like, you're reading what? Like over vacation. But it was interesting. Yeah. They were talking about guys predicting in like the 1830s, 1840s, the second coming of Christ.
Sure.
And there was a huge movement. And like lots of people really believed it.
Mm-hmm.
And when it didn't happen, they literally labeled that, capital letters, the Great Disappointment.
Wow.
And I'd never read that in like theological history, that this is the Anglo-American side of Protestantism, that how this dispensational idea, not just of Jesus coming back or not, but that there's this dualism between heaven and earth that's very rigid, and there's this like you take the prophetic years of the Old Testament, and now, or they're called days in the prophecies, and now you equate them to years in the modern age, and then there's this great pause or this great failing of each generation of the church in the dispensations that then leads to something that's coming so that Christ can make up for all of our failings. It's a lot of stuff that we actually believe in today's sort of ways of seeing the world, but just interesting that though they called it the Great Disappointment. I mean, how big of a disappointment it had to be within their circles.
That was my nickname from my family.
It was your NBA nickname, right?
It was. They called me,
The
Great Disappointment. They're like, do not throw him the ball. It's not going to go well. And they were right.
Oh, that's great. You know what's not going to be disappointing, Johnny?
What's that?
It's time for my segment.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. And you know what? All at the end of last year, there was a lot of talk here. Which is just talk about that. So I suppose that was right. A lot of talk about what song I was going to use to go into it.
Sure.
And most of the time I was just messing with you. You know that.
No.
I wasn't trying to pick real stuff.
Oh.
I was picking
just
things.
Trying to be provocative?
Then I know you'd be like,
incendiary?
Right. And, you know, because obviously. So I think I found the one. I'm going to keep switching up. I'm going to try it today.
We're locking this in.
I'm going to
final answer.
Unless you don't like it.
Okay.
But then we'll see. But guys, let's go into the new segment here for 2024. They talked about that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's
epic.
I think it's perfect. I think you did it.
I knew what to do the whole time.
Only thing it would be bad is if, like, the quote was from Pee Wee Herman now. You know what I'm saying? Like, it needs to be a real historic quote, or that music makes no sense. I think Weird Al Yankovic said, like, that's not going to be as good. But, yeah, if it's like Winston Churchill, that's the music.
Yeah. Well, today is from Benjamin Franklin.
Okay.
And it's a New Year's quote. And so I like this. He says, Johnny, he's not around anymore.
No.
Be at war with your vices, at peace with your neighbors, and let every new year find you a better man.
That's good.
I like that. Be at war with your vices and at peace with your neighbors. And I've been thinking about that when we talk about like volleyball mindset and stuff with Sadie. We talk about that like, hey, you have to see your – when you feel insecure about something, whether it's school or life or whatever, like, at some point you have to see that as the thing to fight instead of wanting to fight yourself usually.
Yeah.
Or we're all kind of prone – I'm prone to a negative bias towards myself. And this is not, I'm not really speaking theologically right now. I just mean like, I will believe the worst thing about myself, even if it's not true. Right. And if I remember myself in the past, even I remember the bad parts. Like I'm really hard on 21-year-old John, 16-year-old John, and 15. I'm really, really hard on him.
Mm-hmm.
you know, and I have to have therapists or friends say to me, hey, dude, give 15-year-old John a break. Like,
right.
You know, you're not supposed to know then what you knew now. And you're, if you're not careful, you're going to be hard on 45-year-old John the same way whenever you're 75-year-old or 100-year-old John, which we all know is coming now.
Yes.
Yeah. That guy, yeah, he'll be looking back on
running,
this guy.
Running 5Ks, 100-year-old John. Can't wait to see it.
That's the goal. Building houses on the side. But I like this idea of, hey, what I'm struggling with, I need to see that not as a part of me. Or as, if it is a part of me, it's a misappropriated or misled part that I need to now lead a different direction. Instead of going, oh, that's me and I hate me.
Yeah.
To say, hey, that's a part of me that needs to grow. So I can be, and again, this would not work with modern therapy language, which says to welcome what's happening on the inside of you without judgment so that you can examine it, right? So that sound, when you use terms like war, it sounds very like,
right,
I'm fighting this thing. So I'm not saying fight yourself, but I am saying, hey, there are things I want to go, hey, this is, I am not going to be the problem here to the point that I can't face it because it's so shaming. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say, no, I want to be at war with the vices and be at peace with the neighbors.
Yeah. And I think maybe that's one of the things we're getting wrong now in modern culture. If we're honest, it's like we make justification for our own vices and we make war with our neighbors.
Yep.
We're projecting the bad things onto other people.
Right.
You know, the Bible talks about like, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood.
Yeah.
But it's just way easier to do that. It's way easier to pin it on a person than to be like, well, this person's had a bad day or they're not acting themselves today. It's easy to be like, that's a bad person.
Right.
You know.
Yeah,
sometimes we give ourselves the benefit of the doubt, though.
Oh, always.
You know. And
well, it's you know, hate the sin, love the sinner.
Yeah.
And you're the one that always says every time we say that, we're never talking about ourselves.
Yeah, we're never talking about our own sin.
Right.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know. So I let myself off the hook. Sometimes I think about that. Like when I was, you know, I've been on a diet probably of some sort since I was 13. I've always struggled with my weight. And I think sometimes you start realizing the difference between taking care of yourself and taking it easier on yourself.
Yeah.
Like to take care of yourself means to eat a salad.
Right.
And do some sit-ups and like move for the day. And sometimes we take it easy on ourselves going, I'm taking care of myself. Like, no, you're not.
Right.
You're taking it easy on yourself. And so I'm trying to figure out the difference. I think that's the part. As you enter a new year, you're like, all right, what needs to be tweaked and tuned up in my, you know, in my personality? And what am I making excuses for or I'm projecting onto another person?
Yeah.
And frankly, you, what am I projecting onto you, John?
Well, and I think that it's a time, you know, Laura has taught me well. In the last few years, you know, like we leave the Christmas tree and decorations now up till Epiphany. And so
when is the Epiphany?
I want to say that's 12.
Is it when you go, aha?
I think it's 12 days after Christmas.
Yeah.
And so like,
and we think that that's 12. I don't think that's 12 days though.
Transfer from the Sunday from January 2nd to 8th inclusive.
Oh, so yeah, it's only 6 days.
Well, since the 25th.
Oh, the 25th through. Well, that's more than 12 days then.
Well, it depends on when your Epiphany ends. Some would say, Johnny, your Epiphany ended a long time
ago. So my brother has goats, and he just posted last night on his Facebook that if anybody is still trying to get rid of their live Christmas tree, don't go take it to the whatever, the dump.
Bring it
over, because evidently goats eat old Christmas trees.
I'd be afraid that they'd get like,
I don't know. Evidently, it's
little
okay.
Pieces of ornamental.
No, you don't leave the ornaments on, you goof.
No, I mean, what if something's stuck in there? Like, there's tinsel left over or an ornament broke. I don't mean, like, bring your decorated tree necessarily.
It's worth, that'll be some glistening droppings. Here's the thing. Did you know that a goat could just eat a tree?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, you put goats into like clear off whole.
Oh, that's true. They eat garbage and all kinds of stuff.
I mean, I like thick trees per se. I would think that'd be a little thick for them.
Well, I'm sure he researched it. He wouldn't just put that out there and be like, because now we're going to get comments of like, you should never feed a goat a fir tree.
Right. Which, the weirdest comment.
Everybody knows. We get so many comments that we haven't moderated. You know, we have like 500 or 600 comments waiting to be moderated. And I look at the we get the emails, another comment, and it's in Russian or it's
always yeah.
And I'm just like, what is this?
Well, that's the webs that is the website hosting service comments. Yeah. Those are not the ones that come like to our comment.
Oh, I don't know.
Because our listeners are we get all of theirs.
We do get your comments.
Yeah, but these are
which
not.
You can send straight to like hello at talk about that, I think.
Or
like
you
if you want that direct, go to the website and click on that.
Talkaboutthatpodcast.com and you click on the
click on up in the upper right hand corner. You can see the thing that says whatever, but then the lower it says it's a little voice bubble, and that's how you send us. But the email there is hello at talkaboutthatpodcast.com if you want to just directly email us. And if you're Russian, that's fine, but we're not going to get it unless you also are bilingual.
Right. Or
correct. Do you know any?
Well, we could translate it on our end with Google, but at the same time. As long as when we do translate it, you're not trying to sell us something about how to make our website better.
I don't know.
That's the thing. Most of the comments we have don't sell us things if they're from our real listeners.
Do you think when like Thomas Jefferson read that quote from Ben Franklin, it was like, be at war with your vices. He was like, you're right. I hate my vice president. You know, you think he took it, you know? I think Washington was like, I hate that John Adams.
Well, you know what's interesting about the vice president back then?
What's that? Oh, that was the person who lost.
Correct. It was a second place vote.
Yeah.
So
it was technically an enemy.
Yeah.
Your political enemy.
Usually. Well.
Became the vice president.
For John Adams and Thomas Jefferson, absolutely it was.
Yeah.
When John Adams became president. Now, Washington, it's a different ballgame. But when Adams became president, and that was what's weird, is Jefferson.
What if we did that now? Wouldn't we? I mean, what a world would that be?
Yeah.
I don't even. We could never do it. We're just too. I mean, I say we're the most divided, but we're not the most divided. We had a civil war, but
yeah, it would be interesting. I mean, they changed it eventually for a reason.
Yeah,
but it did cut.
I always thought it was weird, even when you run against the guy in your own party and you talk bad about him, and then you choose one of those people to be your vice president. Yeah. It feels so.
It's going
to
happen again.
It feels so disingenuous.
Yeah,
like I remember when Dole chose Jack Kemp, and he had said Jack Kemp's the worst. Blah blah blah. Everybody in the Senate knows that he's a nobody and he's a loser. And then you choose him, and you're like, you just talked about this guy.
Sorry, Jack. Yeah, but power.
You're a good football player. Tell you that. LA Rams.
But let me tell you, though.
Jack Kemp did play for the LA Rams.
Imitation of Power, though. Come on. That's my name, my new book.
Imitation of Power?
Imitation of Power.
So. Imitation or invitation?
Invitation.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Read this book, and I'll invite you to power.
That's beautiful. John, speaking of invitations, we like to invite you for our final segment. It's my weekly segment. This Week in History, we call it Talk About Then. John, this week, 1974, the Presidential Act to reduce the 70-mile-per-hour speed limit to 55 is signed by U.S. President Richard Nixon. Did you know we had a 70-mile speed limit?
It reduced it from 70 to 55?
To 55.
Where,
nationwide,
though, in town?
Nationwide.
Oh.
So your nationwide interstates became 55. Do you know why they did it? I didn't know this. I mean, it makes sense when I read it. I figured, oh, this is going to be people are dying and they're realizing, like, we got to impact.
Was it commercial? They want you to not speed by the...
It was intended to save fuel because of the 1973 oil crisis.
Wow.
So the crisis began the previous October when the Arab members of OPEC plus Egypt and Syria declared an oil embargo on the U.S., Canada, Japan, and the Netherlands and the U.K. for supporting Israel during the Yom Kippur War. So this was all, you know, and religious reasons, I guess. That they were made this political decision to declare an embargo. So then the embargo targeted the U.S. for resupplying the Israeli military during the war. It's very prescient to what's going on now, where people have they feel some kind of way about people taking sides in the Israeli Palestinian war right now. By the time the embargo was lifted in March, the price of oil had risen nearly 400%.
Yeah,
from $3 a barrel. Can you imagine that? U.S. $3 a barrel.
Wow.
In 1973 to nearly $12. So that the act was repealed in 95. So evidently things had kind of leveled off, or we decided, like, you know what, we're going back to 70. We don't care.
Not till 95, though.
Yeah, but I remember when it happened. I remember being a teenager, and I guess I would have been 22 when they put it back to 70 in Knoxville. If you remember, because it was 55 everywhere, and then you started seeing more 70s, and it was the 90s when it all went. So it basically started going back. Anyway, we can't drive 55.
Wow.
When you get to 55, you realize, like, how slow it really is.
It's slow.
But I mean, it does save gas, I imagine.
I don't know. I'll never know.
I think that's
there's no way to know. I think it's been proven.
I don't know. Maybe other places went back to 70 quicker, but I just remember being like late teens, early 20s when it started. You started seeing more. 70s. Oh, okay. Because I remember it was 55 going through 640 in Knoxville. Because I famously, well, not famously, but around my friend group, we got pulled over and on 640. It was the same spot where we went and with the girl that we right was going from her boyfriend. And I said, I promise you don't want to fight me, which go back and listen to the earlier episodes if you want to find it. But same spot, there was 55 there. And I got stopped and it was a female cop. She comes over and I'm with my fiance, Curry, at the time. Well, she was my fiance. She was still, I've only had one fiance, but Curry was my fiance at the time. And then my friend Jeff was in the back seat, and we worked at the movie theater together. And so she shines the light and she goes, do you know how fast you were going? I go, no, I don't know. She goes, 67. I go, 67 like that. And she goes, get out of the car.
No,
she pulled me out of the car because I said 67.
Wow.
Like that. I mean, maybe I was just incredulous. I wasn't being disrespectful. I was just like, 67. And so anytime we would drive past that stretch of highway, my friends would always go, 60, you know, they would drop some kind of other curse or some other expletive.
Right. Right.
Ain't no way I was going 60. You know, I was like, I didn't say anything like that, but I think it was a young cop and they were just very like, they knew they could pull me out of the car and
did you
perp walk me?
Were you apologizing? Did you?
Yeah, I was just like, I don't know what's going on. You know, and of course, I got a ticket. I got a lot of tickets in my early driving years.
Yeah.
I had some points on that license.
You got like a degree from traffic school.
I did.
I only had 3 hours left to get a bachelor's.
I did. I got my license. Basically, I got a probationary. They're going to suspend your license for a year if you get one more ticket.
Jeez, Johnny.
And I got a ticket. And I went to traffic school to keep it off my record, or otherwise my license would have been suspended for a year. I was a speed demon, John.
You know, when I moved back to Nashville,
mm-hmm.
I got three tickets in the first like 3 months, at all different places. Like one was in Lakewood.
We're out of control.
And then
man.
I got one in Murfreesboro. We were moving our friend Andy in.
Yeah.
So Murfreesboro police, Lakewood police, and then Metro got me in a church van on Briley Parkway.
Oh.
And I had a similar thing where I almost got pulled out of the car. It was under construction for like a decade.
Yeah.
And so I'm driving, the guy pulls up behind me, and I mean, there's no shoulders, like the concrete construction.
Mm-hmm. Just the girders or whatever
that they put up.
Yeah.
There's nowhere to pull over, and nothing makes me, and this does bug me a little bit. It happens in Mount Juliet a lot. A cop will pull someone over, and they are basically just in the middle of the road or right off.
It's not safe.
It's just unsafe. I don't want the cops.
So
not
you
safe.
Pulled way up to find a safe spot and then got so mad at you for that.
I kept going.
Oh boy!
And I got my.
You're evading arrest.
I had my blinker on.
It's like the OJ chase.
And like, yeah, it was. But I'm going probably 20. I had my blinker on. I'm in a church van.
Right.
And I'm like trying to get to the next exit.
It feels like you're being evasive.
I finally pull off, and then he comes up and jerks in front of me.
Oh wow!
Like he's blocking me.
Yeah.
Now. Like we just had a high speed chase, and he stopped. Me somehow.
Oh man.
And I just rolled my window and goes, I wasn't running.
Yeah.
He was like, well, you didn't stop. I was like, there was nowhere to stop.
Right.
And almost.
Then you go, 67.
It was. It was like a.
This car shakes at 62. There's no way.
There's no way. But I wanted to go, like, you should have known that too.
Yeah.
Like, you're right. The professional at this anyway. I got a ticket.
Yeah.
Shocker.
You're not getting out of that
one. Get out of that one. Yep.
Did you try crying? Crying.
No, I probably pulled a pastor card though back then. I wouldn't do it now.
Were you in the church van?
Well, it was a rented van, but it was like for church. I was going to pick up kids. It's like, look, I gotta
get these kids. That's why
get these kids straight to the hospital or whatever.
You won't believe how fast I go when I get kids in this van. I mean, I really gun it then.
I did get pulled
but
over.
But you can trust me, officer.
I got pulled over one time on the way to teach Sunday school in Knoxville.
Oof.
And I got out of that one.
Did you? Because you did like, this is the, I'm on a mission from God.
Well, the guy then, he thought himself kind of funny. He was like, well, you know, when it says, lo, I'm with you always, it doesn't mean because your car's so low to the ground because you're going so fast.
Oh.
And I was just like, that's a stretch, man. I didn't say that.
It meant low speed.
I was just like, yes, sir. And he let me off the hook. So,
man.
Yeah.
That's good.
These days, I don't get pulled over a lot, so.
No, I go, I'm trying to save gas money. Again, it's
it all comes back to that, doesn't it?
It does. I'm trying to, it's fine. I leave early too. I feel like I'm a better planner. I'm not running late all the time.
You're early everywhere now.
I try to be early.
And that was not the case.
That's not true. Hold on. I wasn't always late.
Oh, wow.
I think I'm pretty prompt.
You weren't late.
Right.
But like you weren't the guy.
No.
Like you're the guy.
Oh, you think?
Oh, yeah.
I'm like a reliable.
You beat me everywhere we go now.
That's beautiful. So, yeah. Well, all right. Finally, John, this week, 1906, very important invention. Willis Carrier, which you'll recognize the name when I tell you the invention.
Aircraft carrier. Oh, sorry.
Is granted. Wouldn't that be great if he invented the aircraft carrier? What's your name? Aircraft. No. my name's R. Craft Carrier. No. Willis Carrier granted a patent for the modern style electric air conditioner.
Oh, wow.
Carrier's still one of the main brands.
What year?
I'm assuming this is 1906.
Wow.
I wonder how expensive they were. I would like to know some more history on it. Like, did only rich people have them? Because, you know, a lot of people grew up in houses where you just didn't have one, or you had like a window unit.
Right.
It was supposed to cool the whole house. It sticks way out the front of your house. It looks awful.
Yeah.
But yeah, the 1906, it feels like that would have been a lot of, not great in everybody's house. And everybody doesn't have them.
Did they originally call it an air conditioner?
That's what it says.
Why was it a heater? And why was this not a cooler?
Yeah, why wouldn't you just call, a cooler was your fridge, I guess.
Yeah, but.
The ice box.
Yeah, but I feel like conditioner.
Yeah.
You're
it feels like you're attributing a lot of mysterious properties.
It's going to do a lot to
this conditions
air.
The air.
Right.
Makes it look smooth and younger looking. Like, no, it's just making cool air come out.
It's just cold. Yeah.
It's just putting Freon into our lungs, probably.
That's fine.
Who knows what those early air conditioners did to people? We don't know. I'm not trying to start a conspiracy theory. I'm sure it didn't do anything. I don't know anything. They always had to put Freon in my. I had an old house, and they always had to come out and put you're 3 pounds, three Freon low, and they'd put Freon, and it would work for like the season, basically. Right. And I'd be like, how many pounds does it hold? About three. You know, it's like, this thing's got a bad leak. Fix your.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're not allowed, you have to have a license.
Like, if they told you, you've lost a lot of, how much blood did I lose? About 12 pints. How many pints does a human have? 11. You somehow.
It was close. You almost ran out. Yeah. Hey, speaking of coming back from Christmas,
yeah,
we were in the Jeep,
mm-hmm,
and I was going to stop in Crossville and get gas, but we had the dog.
Right.
And he's just totally spazzing out when we first start driving. So I was like, okay, I don't want to get the dog all riled up again. We'll stop in Cookeville or just past. We got plenty.
Sure.
We get just past Cookeville or not past Cookeville, but we're almost to Carthage where I want to get gas.
Yeah.
Johnny, the worst traffic jam from a car wreck that maybe I've ever seen on 40.
Yeah.
It says we're 8 miles. No, sorry. It says we're 2 miles the next exit, and it says it's going to take an hour and 20 minutes.
Oh, no. And you're running out of gas?
Right. We're almost out of gas. I have my mom with us.
Oh, man.
The dog, my daughter, my wife. I'm in the Jeep. And it's like this.
But the Jeep gets great gas mileage, so it's okay. Known to be very economical vehicles.
And it's so low now that it won't give me a mileage
of how much
I have left. It's just like
so low you went
fuel.
On the shoulder and went up the mountain.
I started
you're
going,
in a Jeep.
I went on the shoulder for a minute. Around
you
the
went
cars.
On the emergency shoulder?
I thought, well, I'm going to have to get around. And then I pulled up. I thought, these people hate me right now because I can't tell them.
It's an emergency because I failed to plan to get fuel. And this constitutes an emergency
to me.
All
I'm going
to
do is make this traffic jam worse if I break down.
Oh, so you were thinking of the other people.
I was thinking.
This is so classic you. This is beautiful.
It's very altruistic.
Yeah.
And then I finally pull in because there's emergency vehicles now coming down the shoulder.
Oh, you mean what the shoulder's actually for?
It turns out there's another use. I had no idea. And so we just wait, turn off the air and the heat, all the stuff, try to use nothing.
I've heard that's a myth in modern vehicles, by the
really?
Way.
Really?
That it doesn't affect gas mileage.
What's a 2015? I don't know.
Yeah.
How modern.
Yeah.
Anyway, dude, I was praying.
Did you make it?
We made it. But I was thinking, I'm going to be jogging.
Who would you call? Who do you call?
You can't call anybody. You're going this way, and you're stuck in traffic as far as
true.
You can see front and back.
So you just got to wait it out.
I was going to get out of the car, leave them in the car, run to the next thing, and try to get a ride back on the other end, and then cross over with a gas can.
Oh, man.
That was my plan. And it was getting cold. It was getting pretty cold.
Yeah.
So, interestingly enough,
that's not
a lot of gas talk.
Yeah.
A lot of fuel talk on today.
Huh.
Let's talk about fuel.
Yeah, it's okay.
Let's talk about gas. Anyway, that's a whole other show.
We hope that you got a lot of mileage out of today's show, dear listener. Check out our podcast online, talkaboutthatpodcast.com, archived episodes, and yeah, leave us a note. Leave a review. That helps the algorithm.
It does.
Helps people find us, all that good stuff. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. Johnny has got a pretty full schedule already for 2024. You should go see him somewhere and get johnnyw.com, johnniew.com.
Yeah, some cool places you can buy tickets online for most of my shows. I'm on tour with Nate Bargatze a little bit this month, which is fun. If you want to get last-minute tickets to those shows, I'm opening those shows, which will be a blast.
Yeah. And you can add talk about that to your New Year's resolution repertoire. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
This is something to listen to.
I resolve now to I'm going to put the pressure on them, though, because if they can't live up to it.
Maybe resolve to share with a friend. Because if you got made it this far, you've already listened. You've already won the war.
If you don't like the show, share it with an enemy.
There you go.
You know?
Yeah, send this to someone you really don't like.
Like, this will show them.
Yeah.
You waste an hour of your life.
Guys, thanks for the time you gave us. We'll see you again next week on
Talk About That.
Hey everybody, I'm Dale.
And I'm Tamara.
We're hosts of the Kynos Project podcast,
where we help you tackle ancient Christian truths in everyday settings.
To learn more and subscribe, go to lifeaudio.com.